displaying him through us as a body, right? Leaning and doing everything how he thinks, not how we think. And you're going to get an idea of what the word shows us on how to do that. The title is A Godly Mind. And the word mind comes from the Greek word nous, which means the intellect, mind, divine or human, in thought, feeling, or will. Those three things, what we have, my thoughts, my feelings, and my will. Now, you're going to have your own that come upon you, upon your flesh, right? And it's an automatic thing that's going to come upon you. But you want to make sure you're redirecting it to God's. And that's something we have to choose to do every day. Because remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to learn to be spiritual. Amen. So to have a godly mind is not something that's just going to turn its own self on, as you're going to see. It's me choosing to think like God. And you may say, well, how can I think like God? Well, his word provides us and his spirit gives us everything we need to do that. So we're going to go through a step by step in understanding. So then hopefully as we start this new year, as we end this year and go into the other year, we're able to now go out there and do things based on what God says, not based on us. So first of all, we are in an extreme danger when our mind is not on godly things. In other words, we become a danger to others. And I'm talking about us Christians, to others, when our focus is not on him, completely on him. I know as the year comes in, people are thinking of stuff that happened. We're thinking of our finances. We're thinking of what we're going through. I think a lot of times we have other things on our mind. But watch what happens when we allow this to happen. In Matthew 16, 22-23, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, to set this up, Jesus already told them what's going to happen. He let them know that he was going to have to be crucified, he was going to die, and he was going to raise again in 3 days, 3 days and three nights. And as he explained that, Peter, of course, seeing this one he loved, and responded based on how he seen it. Okay, and this is what he said. He took him and he rebuked him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Now, they all knew that he's a teacher, that he is God, right? But when he's telling them or teaching them this because of how they were thinking or how Peter was thinking at the time, he responded based on himself and not on God. And Jesus showed the danger of this. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Think about that. Now, we have Jesus who's saying, in how you're acting, you are a stumbling block to me. Now, when we look at what Peter was saying, we know he meant well. We know there was a lot of human compassion in there. He really loved his teacher, but he's saying, but when you stick to that, you become a danger. You become a stumbling block. If Jesus would have connected with that and not focused on God, you see the danger in that. Even though we're going, oh, that's nice, Peter. It's nice that you love me that much. But do you see how if he bought on to his compassion or his sadness of him saying he was going to die, how that could make Jesus go in the wrong way? But we're saying this for other Christians. He said, get behind me. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. I want you to think about that for a minute. Having in mind the things of God. How do we deal with every situation? Everything we think about. It's funny, even when I'm sitting there and I'm watching the television show, I'm thinking in my mind, how would we or should we deal with that thing that I just seen? How should we as Christians deal with that? Right? And the thing about it, it should look the same. Even though we're all different, having the mind of Christ, how we react in conflicts, how we deal with things that we're excited about, how we deal with things that make us angry, should all be the same because it comes from the mind of God. If our mind is focused on God. Amen? So watch this. So as we continue on, your mind is a path, okay? Your mind is your path. Now, you know how we say your heart is your purpose. So it's the why in your life. Why are you doing what you do? Okay, when this is put your heart into your, everything in your own heart, that's what your reason why you're doing it. The mind is going to be the everything else. The how, the when, the what, and so on and so forth. So this is the path that you're going to take. Now, you hope that the purpose or your heart would guide your path, but it doesn't always happen that way. And this is why you have to have your heart and your mind in God. Okay? So it's the path you're going to take in it. Let's look and see what Titus says, 1:15-16. This is, to the pure, all things are pure. I'll explain what that means. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Now understand what he says when he's saying pure here. Those who take the word completely, not taking away from it and not adding to it, that's pure. Okay, so for those who, I'm just taking exactly what my Father tells me. Everything I get from God's word, that's pure. And that's why he said, to the pure, all things are pure. If the Bible says it, that's the answer. Okay, but what he's saying about the other group, those who corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. So they'll use the Bible when it's convenient. They'll use something else when they don't like what the Bible is saying. They'll add other books to it. They'll add other doctrine. See, that's corrupted. Okay, you can have a pure glass of water, and the minute you add something to it, you've corrupted it. Does everybody understand that? So even as a Christian, if I am using other things along with the Bible, that's corruption. If I use the Bible but let go of some of the things the Bible says, that's corruption. Y'all get this? So he's saying this is what happens. He says, in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. And he says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. In other words, we'll live in a way that we say, hey, I really follow God and I believe and I trust in him. But you'll see me leaning on me or leaning on other doctrine or leaning on what somebody else says and not completely on God. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything. That sounds kind of harsh, but God needs to be harsh with us sometimes to let you know, no, you need to stop. Because I think we like to mean well, but the Bible doesn't show us to mean well. He wants us to be well. And we're going to see later, we have everything we need to be well. So we want to stop just going based off of our feelings and our emotions and living off of what he says. That's faith. Faith is doing what he says, not what I feel, based off of what he tells us to do. So as he's letting you know, by their actions, they deny him. And we want to make sure we're pure. So going into this new year, make sure you're checking everything using God's word, right? You're saying, why did I do that? At the end of each day, you should even check yourself and say, how did I respond in the way Christ told me to? Or did I? You know, at work and along with my friends when I was driving, you know, when I was at the gas station, when I went to the supermarket, whatever it is, did I respond in every way based on God? And it's going to make us search and want to know the word so we have this understanding. Very important that we are pure, not corrupt. Our mind has to be right just for us to pray, believe it or not. Okay, what does this mean when he says this in 1 Peter 4, verse 7? He says, the end of all things is near. And he was saying it way back then, because remember, time to us, we're kind of like, this is taking a long time. While God's letting us know, no, it's coming very quick. And we need to live in that way with an urgency, knowing that we don't have much time. So he's saying, the end of all things is near, therefore, be clear-minded. Be clear-minded. Let me tell you what he's telling you to do. Clear out everything you think. Does that make sense? He doesn't want you to come to him so you two can take what you're thinking and how you think about it and take what he thinks and what he's thinking about it and you mix the two together and make it work. Okay? That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, no, I need you to get rid of you and accept totally me. Amen? You get a chance, go back, and you'll even see Jesus. Remember when he was talking about judging? He said, I don't do anything by myself. In fact, he, in a roundabout way, said, you'll never hear my own judgment. You'll only hear what me standing with the Father. The problem we struggle with as Christians is we like to mix us with God instead of just totally giving God. Why are there so many flavors of Christianity out there? Because we've mixed it with other things. That's that corruption thing again. Instead of totally giving what he says. And if I'm clear-minded when I pray, I'm 100% open to what he says. That's why it says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Now, why is that so necessary? The clear-minded part is, so when I'm going there, I'm completely open to his answer. Now, if not, I'm going to him with an answer in mind. Am I right? Think about it. You already have, all right, God, I want a new job, so I'm going to him. And your whole prayer is, so when you give me that new job, and I'm going to get this new job, and I'm going to love this new job, and it's going to start next week. And you're already going there telling God what he's going to do. Amen? And you may throw a, not my will, but your will be done. But you really mean, I really want what I want, so please give me what I want. Not really, God, I'm coming to you to hear. I'm making my request as you said, but really, I don't want it if you don't want me to have it. Clear-minded is, I'm completely here to hear what you have to say. Going into this new year, we have to make sure, because we need to pray. The self-control is still just as important, because I know we like to feel as though we can't help it, but he's empowered us with the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that I can help it. So when I don't help it, it's not that I couldn't, it's that I didn't. Amen? All right, so understand that. So these two things, he's given commands that I have control over, that you have control over. Clear-minded, self-control. I'm completely going to hear 100% of what God is going to tell me. I'm going to present my request like he told me. I'm not going to try to wave him one way or the other. Even petitioning is just me putting out there everything that's going on because he told me, not based on me. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? So I'm not going in there trying to run things and thinking me and God have a partnership. No. I'm a servant of God. You understand? Which I'm totally depending on God. Your mind will dictate your life. So if you want to know where your mind is now, the Bible shows, watch how you live. Watch how you live. Watch what it says here in Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. He said, so I can say I'm Christian, but if you watch my life and the way I live, if it's based on the world, I can call myself a Christian all I want, but my mind is based on something else. Do y'all get this? He's saying, I can say I'm a Christian, that doesn't make me a Christian, but if I focus on God or if I focus on the world, I'm going to live as the world, period. Amen? Even if you come here and you're paying attention to the word and you're getting the word, if your mind is still focused on what the world says to focus on, you'll live as the world, right? You'll still focus on the world. You'll hear the preacher saying, as the word tells us, to turn the other cheek from our enemies or to love our enemies. But then in your mind, you're thinking, I'm not going to let her talk to me that way again. And no, I'm not going to put up when they do this to me. And you're so busy thinking that, you're missing out on what he just told you. He just gave you the answer of how to handle that situation. But your life will display, if your mind is placed on God, you'll go back and you'll love your enemy. But if your mind is not, like it said here, it says those who, they have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what that Spirit desires. That evidence is not only for me to check myself, that's for you to check me, right? If you really want to help your brother or sister, don't take their word for it. Watch their life. And this is why we're supposed to be responsible for one another. I know we think it should work that I gave you my word, I'm a Christian, it should end like that. But no, to really have your brother's back and to really look at each other's life, I want to check you and you want to check me. Not in a condemnation, but in a way that I can help you. Because if you're doing things based on the world, there's a problem. Here's the problem. It says the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Okay? One thing he didn't say here is how the situation would change. It's not the situation he's looking at. He's talking about your state of mind, where you're at. So in other words, if I live with my mind focused on the world, right, it says then... it's going to be death. I'm going to live in death. Now, anybody that doesn't know Christ is walking in death. Because remember, Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Okay? So since he's doing that, the rest of the world is walking in death. That's why we minister to the world to bring them to so that they may have life. But if my mind is still focused the way the world is, I'm living in death. Believe it or not. Okay? But if I allow my mind to be controlled by the Spirit. We're going to talk about how that works. How can I allow my mind to be controlled by the Spirit? I get a bonus in here. Not only do I get life, but I get peace. He didn't say I get peaceful situations. I get peace despite the situations. Does that make sense? There's a lot of us who are going through hard times, and you're going to go through hard times. But the times won't dictate you because you'll have peace. Remember when Jesus and they were in the boat, and this storm came, and they're feeling like they're going to die. And what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. And they're like, what is going on? You know what I mean? And the understanding of that is we have access to that exact same peace, even peace unto death. Does everybody get that? Reason why we may not feel it is because, unfortunately, our mind is in the wrong place. So it's very important for us to get our minds completely focused on God. It says the sinful mind is hostile to God. Think about that. So when my mind is not focused on God, I'm actually fighting with God. That's why the one verse says to us that friendship with the world is an enemy to God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend to the world becomes an enemy or hatred. It says friendship with the world is hatred towards God. And anyone who chooses to be a friend becomes an enemy to God. Why is it saying that? Because if I'm living trying to embrace and do the things of the world, I can't be a Christian. It's two different ways. They do not ever go together. All right. And he says it's hostile to God. It goes against God. And if I'm not careful, I'll miss, because sometimes it seems like it's helping. Everybody say seems. Now, remember, seems is by sight. We are supposed to walk by faith. The world will give us something that'll seem like it's working, but the Bible told you there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death, right? So I got to make sure I'm not walking based on what it seems, but what he says. It's hostile to God if my mind is not focused on God. What does God want me to do? What does the Bible say? Instead of me going based off of how I feel. It says it does not submit to God's law. Watch this. Nor can it do so. Not only doesn't it do it, it can't. It's saying if I try to live based on how the world says to live and be a Christian, I can't. You got that? I know some think, I mean, I'm doing both and it's good. And God understands. He knows my heart. He knows your heart is on the wrong thing, headed in the wrong direction. We have to go into this new year with the mindset to either live for God or not. Amen. And he makes it clear. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. He says those controlled by the sinful nature cannot. Everybody say cannot. Please God. Cannot please God. It didn't say will not, does not. It says cannot. They can't. It's impossible for them to do it. And he's not saying he's stopping them from doing it. He's saying, think of it this way, and I've used this as an example before. Think of the sinful nature as going south and the godly nature as going north. Now, have you ever heard somebody going north-south? Because you can't. They're total opposites of each other. Do you understand that? So when somebody thinks they're still doing things of the world, they think they're getting over and they're being godly, fooling themselves. Amen? So I want to have a godly mind, period. Not some godly mind and some not, because you're going to keep going back and forth and it doesn't work. You'll get nowhere fast. The ungodly mind focus is wrong. Just overall, to emphasize that even more, Philippians 3, 18 through 20 shows us, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears. So Paul's inspired to make sure he gives this scripture. And I mean, it's bringing him to tears. And I understand this even as a pastor, just even as a Christian. Sometimes when we don't get it, how dangerous it is, and even when we choose not to get it. And he's saying, I'm warning you of this, and I keep seeing you fall into this, is what he's letting them know. So what is he warning them? He said, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So he's talking about there are people who are saying they're Christians, but there's characteristics that they're showing that shows they're not. And not only are they not Christians, they're enemies to Christians. In other words, they're causing more damage. Now, we got to check and make sure that's not us as Christians, right? We got to make sure that I'm fully living for God. Look at what they have and make sure it's not us. First of all, their destiny is destruction. What does that mean? So their focus is going to be on things of the world. They'll look more on how much money I can make, how happy I can be. All their goals are for the temporary. They'll be living for the temporary. What can I get out of it? What is going to be my legacy? What is all about me? And remember, destruction is based on me and headed towards hell because it's not focused on for him, which is eternity. So it's headed for destruction. So when it says their destiny is destruction, their focus is on the wrong thing. You'll talk to them, you'll hear their goals. If my goal is not godly, it's destruction. Y'all get that? Think of the goals. And if the goals is totally based down here, then I'll live for down here. The second thing is their God is their stomach. Their God is, what does that mean? Stomach is emphasizing appetite, what I desire. Okay? So in other words, you'll see them living more for what they desire, a whole lot less on what he says. Right? They'll read a scripture, and if they like it, man, they're doing it wholeheartedly, but they're doing it based on what they feel. Because they read a scripture they don't like, they're going, I don't think God meant that. Do you notice that today? There's certain scriptures we distort when we don't like them. And man, we go full force when we love them. So is it based on God or is it based on us? Did y'all catch that? Okay. So it says there, God is their stomach. All of us, if we're being honest, there's scripture that we struggle with, right? But if our God is God, we're going, God said it, that settles it. But if our God is anything else, we're going, no, he couldn't have meant this. And then we look for somebody with our itching ears to tell us, yeah, you don't have to do that. And there's a lot of stuff we don't do that the Bible says because our God is what we desire, not what God says. Y'all catch that? And the third thing, and this is the thing you've been leaning the next thing is going to be what we're leaning on, but their glory is their shame. When their glory is their shame, they're going to advertise more of self and less of Christ. So what I mean by that is they'll show of what I can do. They'll show more of what I have done. They put more emphasis on the me factor, on how great I am. In fact, I think God blessed me because of me. Everybody else is a sinner, but if you were more like me. When it shows us that their glory is their shame, remember, grace came down because we couldn't do it. Do y'all get this? When Paul says, what a wretched man I am, we humbly go to God and say, I can't believe you died for me. That's how it should be. But you have those that live down here with this attitude as if when I was born, God was like, well, you're the only sinner, the only person that didn't sin, so you're good. And we live almost with that attitude. So their glory is going to be based on self. They almost think God's doing stuff for them. They use favor in the wrong way. So you'll watch them live not to glorify God, which our glory should be, which is God. They'll glorify self. Right? Look how great I am. Look at what I did. And this is the one that leans on to what our whole topic is on. Their mind is on earthly things. Now, that should make us shake. That should concern us. Because, unfortunately, a lot of our minds are on earthly things. You think about last year. If I asked, how often did you think of God? Everybody should say all the time. For being honest, I bet you we wouldn't say that. Amen? We're probably worried about something. We probably had somebody that was sick in our family. We probably had a death in our family. Probably a job thing happened. Something with politics. Something with somebody at your job. Something with somebody in your family. I bet you there's something that you had more focus on than on God. Right? Instead of truly giving those things to God in the way that God says it, we allow those things to dictate our lives. In fact, you'll have some people go, hey, I'm going through something, so I won't be back at church for a little while until I get over it. Have you heard people say that? Have you ever done that? Do you understand? In which we make an excuse to get away from the thing we need because my mind isn't on God. It's on this earthly thing. Hey, God, let me fix this earthly thing. Then I'll come back to you. Then you missed it. Amen? We have to make sure our focus is on him, that our mind is on him, not on earthly things. I encourage you, think back through the year and don't do it to condemn yourself or to feel bad. Just go, okay, all right, that's where I messed up. I got to get godly focused in everything. Prepare for any situation and say, I got to go into it going, okay, God, what do I do? Okay, God, how do I handle it? Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've seen a couple of people this year that went through things, and it was a blessing to me when I watched them still stay God focused when they were going through a disaster. And it sustained them. It ministered to me. And many of them don't even know it. But the opposite happened when I watched others when they went through tragedies and you've seen them stray. And they go away. It can become discouraging. It ministers or hurts others, depending on what our mind is. It's saying we as Christians, we have to recognize our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Christ. Now, what he's saying, Lord Jesus Christ, what he's showing us is, so my focus, I'm going to be prepared. People are going to die. Disasters are going to happen. Things are going to go on. And the opposite's going to happen. I'm going to get good things that are happening or desirable things. You know what I mean? Things that I didn't realize. You may get promotions. You may have new life, new babies and things like that. And all of it still has to be, I'm doing it focused on Christ. I'm still doing it, realizing that I have to display Christ. How many of us in this room have certain things? If we lost a person, if we lost a thing, you're done. I mean, you already have in your mind, God, as long as I have this, I'm okay. But if you took away my child, took away my parent, if you took away my job, took away my talent, instead of going, as long as I have you. Amen? God, I enjoy all the things that I have and I appreciate it, but my core foundation is you. Amen? So we have to make sure that this doesn't describe us, but we recognize where our full citizenship and focus is. Having this, the mind of God, we allow him to define us, not us defining us. Now, I think we all try to remake ourselves or define ourselves, while God already tells us what we are. Do you know before you were born, God already had the plan for what you are? Okay? Everybody, as before you even become a Christian, he already knows the gift you are supposed to have. He knows the part of the body that he chose for you to be in. All right? There's a study I have out there on spiritual gifts. And what you notice in spiritual gifts, it isn't me going into a thing and saying, which one do I want? I have to say, okay, God, what did you make me to be? Right? If I raise my child to focus on him, then they're growing up in the right way because they're looking to be what he made them to be. Unfortunately, the world guides us to mold our child to be what they want to be. You see where the confusion comes in? Because then they struggle because they're like, okay, I'm going to be this. I'm going to strive for this. Oh, now I'm going to church. What? I can't be this? I got to, what? Tell me, help me. And the confusion comes in because we're not guiding them towards God. Look what he says in Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Then he explains what that means. What is more highly than I should think of myself? It says, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in what? In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. All right? There's only one person that got the full measure of faith. You know who that was? Jesus. Okay, that you go. It's in the gospel. I think it's in John. I don't have the exact verse, but look that up. Where it's he's the only one at the full measure. Do you know why we only got a measure of it? And even though he says you're going to be doing greater things than I will, the reason why we only got a measure of it, because Christ is Christ, we make up the body of Christ. Do y'all get this? Okay, so I get a measure, you get a measure, and this is why I need you, you need me. We come together as one body, which is Christ. The head of that body is Christ. Do you understand that? Okay, so we're functioning and we do everything. And the measure he gives me means, okay, Keith, you're a hand. So my goal is to grow and to learn what I am in him. So that's where the mind part has to come. So I have to think of myself based on that faith. So this is why you go to church. You go to learn and grow in him, because that is how you have that relationship with him. The more you have that relationship with him, the more you'll get an understanding of, this is what I was made to be. Not, hey, God, I'm going to be an eye. No, I made you a hand. No, I think I'm going to be an eye. I'm better at being an eye. And that's how a lot of us are living. And this is why many Christians end up dying, not knowing what their gifts are, because we told God what we're going to be, and we insist on it. And unlike us as parents here, God is firm. What he says goes. You know, us will go, okay, if you want to be an eye, you can be an eye, right? As we do. But God is saying, no, you're a hand. Do y'all get this? Our focus is to do what God says. He says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So you have to grow and understand, what is this that God has given me to be? There's a lot of verses that go over that, and that's a whole nother topic. But just that's where my mindset has to be of, I need to understand where God wants me to be, not where I want to be. I told you when we used to have pickup games, any of the sports, especially in football, and you get the one guy or the teacher, sometimes the gym teacher, would choose you, and you get those kids that go, I want to play quarterback. And then if he says, no, I want you to run back or play the line, I'm not playing. You ever see that? No, I'm supposed to be. And they're telling them, and we're doing the same thing with God, in which we're telling him, who's the leader, and he's the more ultimate leader than a gym teacher, of course, he's telling you what you are, what he's using you for, and you're telling him, nope, I'm going to do this over here. Get your focus on him. The important purpose of fellowship is unity of the mind. Now, why do we come together? Because we as Christians have to come together to understand, I need to be with you and understand that so we both can think like Christ. Remember, as we just seen, we all make up the body of Christ. Okay? So if you notice, my hand just goes up. But my shoulder had to know something. My elbow had to know something. My wrist had to know something for this hand to go up. My hand didn't do it by itself. Do you understand that? Something functioned where everything was in sync. Why is it in sync? Because it all comes from here. Amen? So if we're all doing the same thing from Christ, then we can be used by Christ as a body. When the world sees Christians, they should see one. Unfortunately, they see many because we kept adding our own little flavor, our own little twist to it. And this is why it's so confusing. If we just did what the word said, they would see that body. And they would see that our purpose in us fellowshipping is to make sure we're in check as being one. Me helping you to be one, and you helping me to be one. I'm okay. Thank you. All right. So it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you. Now, let me stop there. He starts off with, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's letting me know, he's not saying, hey, find the smartest person and all of us agree with that one person. So this is not about, hey, let's get the best idea. We all come together and have that best idea. That's called politics. We're not doing that. No, no. There's only one real idea, which is Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you understand? So he is it. And the key word is the. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I got to make sure my focus is him and that all of our focus is him, that we're all thinking like him. He says that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you. We failed on this miserably, and we still are. Like I said, the world should see one. I should be able to start ministering to somebody, and the minute we hand them off to another Christian, they should be able to take off where I left off, right? With the exact same thing. It shouldn't be different. Every time I've looked at it, it's always been because something else we added, something else we've done. It's never been with Christ because he's nothing changed in him. It's because we're not always giving Christ. It's because we started adding other stuff. He was like, that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. So he's telling me I have to think and do everything the same. Perfectly. And I know some of us are going, but we're only human. We're not perfect. That's why I can't do it. I have to allow him to do it through me. This is why I have to have the relationship with him to allow him to work through me. Because remember, I can't be righteous on my own. My righteousness is his righteousness displayed through me. So for it to be done perfectly, I have to react based on him perfectly. Does that make sense? But if I come to you based on me, I'm going to talk about this, but the minute you say something I don't like, we're not talking. I blew it. Or if I allow things to make us argue and to separate, or if I only say things to make you happy, right? Instead of me giving you Christ, you giving me Christ. How many times have you gone to somebody to help them with a situation and you didn't give them Christ? You gave them your opinion. Your opinion is nice, but it's wrong. Do y'all get this? No, I want Christ. I need Christ. You need Christ. And we got to do everything in Christ. Perfectly united mind and thought. And it's saying you will find multiple verses telling Christians to have the same mind in Christ. He continues to say that. So us getting together is a must. I know technology is great for receiving a message, but then what do you do next? You know, Christians more and more are doing things away from because it's convenient to, and I get it, but I'm supposed to be with you. You're supposed to be with me. We're supposed to communicate, so we're doing everything in the Lord. I need you to check me. You need me to check you. All right? It all works in that same way. So we have to make sure we have all of that in sync. The danger that keeps us from having a mind of God is the gratification of self. Understand, remember we said earlier, spirit is willing, flesh is weak, right? So you're going to go through that battle. A lot of things that God is telling us to do, you don't want to do. Now, the not wanting to do it is common. Nothing wrong with that. That's a fleshly feeling. It's a desire. It's not until I act upon the desire that it becomes wrong. Like what he says in Romans 7, 21 through 25. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. So it's saying all human beings really do want to live for God. But it's saying, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. And it says that perfectly when it says another law at work in the members of my body. Because this other law wants to please me. Right? Though I want to please God, something wants to please me. Who am I going to choose? You got where I'm coming from? Okay. And it says, waging war against the law of my mind. Now my mind is going, well, if I do this, it'll feel good. I'll like it. And I won't miss out on anything. This other one is, I'll please God. Now, when I'm telling you this, it sounds like a no-brainer. Well, I'm going to do the thing that pleases God. But unfortunately, our desires, we allow to have more power over us than we like to accept. Right, especially in today's world, we look in this past. The world is as we keep getting worse because we keep trying to serve self. This is why we distort the Bible. We change what it says about marriage. We change what it says about ministry. We change what it says about so many things. Why? Because I didn't like what it said back then. So then we'll go, so God must have meant this. And it makes me feel better. Instead of me going, what did God say? Amen? What did God say? That's that other thing waging war, but we're allowing it to fight against us. Watch what it does. Making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Your flesh always wants to please you. Remember, you're made of three parts. You are a soul. Okay? The soul is what makes you unique in what you are. Okay? God blessed us with a spirit that communes with him and talks to him. But he also gave us flesh to know what we like. How it should have worked is my flesh says, can we have this? Your soul goes to the spirit, is it okay if we have this? And then the spirit goes, yes, and we go, okay, then we can have it. But if the spirit says no, then we go, nope. And no matter what, the flesh is still going to go, but we want it. And you're going, nope, the spirit said no. But if you remember what happened with Eve, it started with her. She even knew because he even asked, did God say you really can't eat the fruit off that tree? And her response, you know, she said, he said no. But when it went time to take it, instead of her going, okay, spirit, is it okay for me to have it? She went, no, when I saw that the fruit was good for eating and gaining wisdom, so she stayed with the flesh. She allowed her soul to make the decision, totally left the spirit out. And we do that same thing today. We lean upon what I want, and this isn't so bad. In fact, when I get it, it's going to be good for me, and God will understand. And then I eat it, and then I give it to somebody else, and they eat it, and disaster. Do y'all get this? And she meant well, but meaning well was dangerous. So that's it makes me a prisoner of the law of sin within my members. What a wretched man I am. Everybody needs to get to that point where I realize, God, I 100% need you. God doesn't pick us because he thinks we're great people and I have a great mind. No, he gave me whatever I have, and he wants me to allow him to use it. Does that make sense? That's all it is. He's not saying, Keith, you're such a great man. When I realize I'm a wretched man, it means he had to die for me. I don't deserve anything in his grace. That's why it's called grace. And mercy. You get mercy because what you really deserve, he didn't give us. And it's called grace because what I don't deserve, he does give us. I had nothing to do with it. If it was in any way up to me, I'd be in hell. But he offers this to me and he gives me time to get it. When I realize it had nothing to do with me, now I'm on the right track because I'm going to completely listen to him. If I don't, and that's why he says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Let me translate that. Who will rescue me from me? Y'all get that? Who will rescue me from me? Because the biggest battle, and if you look, the biggest weapon Satan uses against us is us. And the way we know that, there's that one verse where it tells us to be alert and be self-controlled. Why? Because it says your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The two things he told us I have, alert, self-control. Nowhere did he say that he's going to use this against you. He's going to throw this at you and he's going to do the spirit of this. No. If you don't allow it, he can't hurt you. Y'all get it? But he uses me. He'll go, Keith likes this. I'm going to use this and get Keith. You know what I mean? I can only imagine Eve was probably roaming around that tree looking up there going, I just wonder. I know we got all these other trees, but that fruit. And he was like, got her. And Adam was probably looking at Eve going, man, I love her so much. Man, I'll do anything for her. Y'all see where this goes? When my desires come before God, Satan's like, gotcha. But when I go, I'm going to worship you. Amen. Worship your holy name. 10,000. When I say I'm going to just you, nobody can budge me. I always go, I got to check with God. Nope, got to check with God. Check with God. Yeah, I do want it. Got to check with God. Do you see where I'm going? They'll go, I'm not talking to him. That's why it says resist him. He will flee because he gets tired of you saying you're going to check with God. Okay. So when I get to that point, I say, what a wretched man. I ask, who's going to rescue me from me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That'll make me check with him on everything. I'll have a reverence to know I can't do it. Praise be to God. Amen? So not valuing a godly mind, we could end up with a corrupt mind. Okay? So if I don't value a godly mind, this will be what happens to me. Okay? And he breaks it down. Romans 1 kind of starts off giving us this understanding where man has been headed and it's man's fault. When he starts off in verse 28, and I encourage you, restart from verse 18 because it really breaks it down. But look what it says starting from verse 28, Romans 1. And I have up here, not valuing godly mind, we could end up with a corrupt mind. Romans 1:28-32, it says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Now, you see that today because churches have gone out of their ways to entertain and to keep your attention, while in reality, you should be doing everything you can to make sure the church is preaching to you. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? It's, if I don't enjoy it, then I'm not going. Sometimes you even think you're doing the church a favor. Well, church, God made church for you. And he says, since you did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, people should be here commanding, please make sure you give me the word. I'll stay as long as I need. I'll come as often. Just make sure you give me the word. But we don't, it's not worth it. We go, oh, I got stuff to do. I'm going to be doing something else. Maybe I can come. Maybe I will. And it says, he gave them over to a depraved mind. Did y'all catch that? That should be devastating to us. He's like, since I offered all this to them and they choose to do other stuff, they choose not to take what I'm giving them, they're not going to care. I'm going to give them over to them thinking, I'm okay. You know what I mean? In other words, some of us are lost and we put ourselves in that place and he gave us over to us. It says to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. So in other words, you know when it's sin, you know when it's wrong, and although you clearly know it, watch what you do. They not only continue to do these very things, we still sin in the same way with the, oh well, we use grace in the wrong way as I can do what I want. Totally ignoring it, but also approve those who practice them. Go ahead, man, you're only human. It's okay. God will forgive you, right? Instead of encouraging us to come to God and to grow in God. But this happens when we don't make living in him worthwhile. That's a huge danger while I'm living. You get, there's some that, in other words, are going to be lost while they're living because they're choosing not to serve God, choosing not to gain God. Keyword, choosing. Okay, so it's not even just going to church. Remember, it's the practice of you come here and you don't want to go, okay, God, I'm here. I'm going to take a nap until he's done, and then I'm leaving. Nope, you don't want to do it that way. You go there and you receive the word. Okay? So you're getting that word. You're gaining understanding of the word. You're going to ask questions if you don't understand something. And then you apply that word. That's when you know it's worthwhile. You're like, I got to get this. You'll come in here and go, I'm going to blank out everything else around me because I have to get this. But if not, you see the danger, and it'll be your fault, your choice. Let's not end up being one of those. So what are the ingredients to a godly mind? What are the things we have to have in order to have this godly mind? First of all, God gave us all we need to think like God, believe it or not. And he shows us this. He shows us in 2 Peter 1:3-4, his divine power has. Everybody say has. Now has is past tense. So you already, when you get saved, it's already there. I always give the example of it being in a box. And you open the box, and the only problem is I have no idea how to use anything in here. I have everything you need. Have you ever got something from IKEA or something like that, and you had to put it together, and you're like, how is this going to be that? Right? However, you're looking at it, but then you have to read something. Instructions. But it tells us the way I can use everything that I have, it says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So in order for me to live the life and to be godly, he gave me everything. The only way I know it is through our knowledge of him. So my relationship with Christ will teach me how to use what I already have. Does that make sense? You already have patience. You already have kindness. Now, how do I use it the right way? As I grow in my relationship with Christ, oh, this is how I do patience. Right? This is why he puts us through trials. Remember, it says, count it pure joy when you go through trials of any kind. So now you can put to use that thing that he gave you to use. Not for me to cry in it, for me to grow in it, to persevere, because it gives me perseverance, right? It says, through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness, through these he has given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, do you see what he's saying here? So in other words, he's saying, by me having a relationship with him, I can be godly. I can be godly. Do y'all get that? For me, focusing on him, making him my priority, I'll go through things and they'll go, why does he have peace when everything else is crazy? Right? Okay, remember that verse says, don't be anxious about anything, but through everything, through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, give your request to the Lord. And then it lets us know that you will have a peace that is beyond understanding. What it means is you're going to go through something. It won't even make sense to you. Well, how did you handle that? That was God. You know what I'm saying? That's the divine nature, right? Stephen is getting stoned to death. And I'm talking about the throwing rocks at him. Okay, not the other one. So they're hitting him with stones, okay? So he's hurting. He's in pain. He's frustrated with what he's going through. But he was still had the frame of mind, right, to say, God, you know, forgive them for the sin that they're doing. He still loved them. I stubbed my toe, and I'm not thinking about anybody. You understand this? Am I right? We don't have that frame of mind. He's getting hit. They're trying to kill him, and he still had the frame. Because that was the divine nature. The divine. We all have access to that. There will be no excuses. You know, say we have so many excuses. I'm going through a lot, and this is why I'm doing this. No. You'll go, bring it on. And not because of me, because of my relationship with him and what he has already given me. Y'all catch that? It'll be powerful. You can participate in the divine nature, and not only participate in that, escape the corruption in the world caused by, now look what it's caused by. The corruption in the world, it doesn't say corruption in the world was caused by Satan. Did y'all notice that? All right. Satan just caused you to work off of your what? Desires. This word, and it's both of them together, is epithumia. And the word evil is not in there. Okay, if you look at the translation, it would say it escaped the corruption of the world caused by desires. Okay? Desires, or God gave us desires, but our desires are never supposed to be the God. Okay? And the reason why the world is corrupt is because of our desires. Because that's the only way Satan could attack us and can attack us is when we give in to our desires. Do y'all catch that? So what corrupted the world is us following Satan based on what we wanted. He can't corrupt me or lure me in on something I don't want. Amen? Okay? And I can escape it if I just use what he has and have a relationship with him. It's wonderful, isn't it, how that works, how that process. Secondly, all Christians must go through the process to gain a renewed mind. There's a process you must go through to gain this renewed mind. Romans 12:2. All of us have to do this, but you got to choose to do this. It says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Two things. First of all, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. So stop doing it the world's way. Reason why it's called born again is because I don't come in as a Christian and keep doing it the way I used to. You hear Christians, have you ever seen Christians there when they become Christians, but they're still angry? They still impatient. They still treat people bad. And then when you say something to them about being a Christian, they'll go, that's just the way I am. And they missed it. No, no, you weren't to come in here to continue to be you. You came in to grow into him. Do y'all get this? So he's saying stop. Right now, stop. The way you used to do it, stop. That's the first thing. All of us have to make sure we do that. I have to stop doing it the way I used to do it, the way the world says to do it. But then be transformed. If you notice what it didn't say transform yourself, because I can't transform myself. But he says, but this is how you'll be transformed. By what? By the renewing of your mind. So now I get that Bible. I go to church and say, okay, I'm not doing it the world's way. Teach me his way. Did y'all catch that? For every way you used to handle something, the Bible gives us the right way to handle it. And as I do it, my mind is being renewed. Did y'all get that? Okay, being renewed. It's like, oh, now I got to do it this way. Now I got to raise my children this way. Now I got to be a husband this way. Now you got to be a wife this way. Do y'all catch that? Because now the Bible's saying, no, 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 don't do it the way the world says it. We still follow the patterns of what the world says and not do what God says. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Did y'all ever catch that? That he's letting me know that a lot of us have no idea when it's God's will. You'll hear people say that. I think it's God's will, isn't it? I think so. Maybe. I don't know. He says, only when I have this mind and I allow the word to do it, you'll go, yep, that is. Only those who have this can do this. Not many have it because we haven't done this. He's shown us the access, but we're not doing this. How do you know this? Watch people. We still treat people the same way the world does. So we haven't done part one. We're not studying the word as we should. So we're not doing part two. So of course you're not going to know God's will. Do I take this job? Do I take that job? Do I get married? Do I not? Do I go this way? Do I go? What do I do? I don't know. Why am I confused? He gave you the answer. He gave you the way to do it. Why aren't we doing it? Amen? The exact answers. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You must receive understanding, meditate, and follow his word. Say this again. Receive, understand, meditate, and follow his word. One more time. Must receive. That's why you come to church. That's why you read the Bible, to get it. Understand. Some things you're not going to get, so then you come, when we have Bible study, or you have group, or you get in your meditate, or you get in your prayer groups, or your groups, you ask questions to try to get an understanding. You want to make sure you understand it. Meditate on it. Focus on his word. Remember I said, even when I'm watching a regular television show, I'm sitting there going, how would I do this as a Christian? How would I handle this? How should I deal with this? That's a meditate. We're thinking about it all the time. Hey, how did I deal with this? How am I? I'm always thinking of that. And then follow it. Apply it. It shows us this. Psalm 119, 15 through 16. This is powerful how these two psalms show what all the Bible shows. He says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Think about what he's saying there. He was like, I just read this, heard this in the sermon, and all day I'm thinking about it. How am I applying this? How do I do this? Every time we get in a conversation, I'm going, so when I do this, do I deal with them this way? And I know the Bible says, and you see how I'm meditating on it. And it says, I consider your ways. This is what God expects me to do. I'm always thinking about it. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So I don't consider your word in order to pick one or the other. I consider your word to understand it so I can do it. Does that make sense? In other words, I'm saying, I know I'm doing this wrong. What does his word say? Everything you do in life should be a Bible study. You should go back and say, what does the Bible say? How do I deal with this? That's how I'm supposed to deal with it. And look what this one says. Psalm 119:25-28. I am laid low in the dust. So he's first starting off, man, I'm lowest of lowest, which is good. We all need to get to a broken state. But watch what he says. Preserve my life according to what? Now, do we really pray that? We usually go, God, if you would just give me this, this, and this, I'd be good. Am I right? Think about it. I think all of us have it figured out. If God would just give us, if I could pass around a paper and say, what can make your life perfect? You go, if God just gave me this, then take away this, took this person out of my, we'd have all this stuff, right? And what he's saying is, no. I want you to do it according to your word, because I know that's right. That's when you come to him, you once again, you clear your mind, you get rid of you and say, just give me what you want me to have. And how you want me to do it. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Now, a lot of people struggle because I know at times we pray to God and we're like, but he didn't answer me. Well, the reason why you think he didn't answer you is because it's already been answered in the word and you don't like that answer. One, you're not checking the word for the answer. Two, you're looking for a desired answer, not the answer. Y'all got that? Okay, so we missed that. He's like, let me understand the teachings of your precepts. Let me understand. God, give me. Now, as I read this, I'm going to do it if I like it or not. Help me to understand it so I do it right. He's like, then I will meditate on your wonders. Nothing here will ever change it. You'll never make me go, oh, I know the Bible says this, but I've seen this. It'll always be, no, this is God. I'll always think of the wonders he's done and the wonder he does. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me, watch this, according to your word. The whole thing is us coming in here and once again receiving, understanding, and then we have to make sure we meditate on it, and then we got to do it. Okay? Then the complete focus of our minds must be on heavenly things. As we see, remember, one of the characteristics are those people who are focusing on earthly things, right? Christian's characteristics has to be this. It's short and it's sweet. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above. Set your mind. So I got to go. This is what God said, period. You're going to come out there, and I'm telling you this right now. I think a lot of us know things that the Bible have said, and you have seen things that look like they work better. I can assure you of this. As a counselor, I've had people come in, and it's like, I did this with my child, but then when I start doing this and it's not in the Bible, it worked, is what they'll say. And I'll go, so what are you going to do next? Are you going to go after what you've seen or what he says? Because sometimes the initial thing, when it looks like it works, it's only later on that you're going, yeah, I messed up. and it's too late. Too late. Do y'all get it? What God is doing, you may not see the immediate results, but he's always right. A Christian will only do what he says, despite how it looks. So I have to lock in on what he says, not on what the world says. The world is ever changing. Go back in the 60s and get the books on marriage, get back on how they say to raise your children, how to deal with your money. Get them now. Why are they changed so much? They had it all figured out back then. People spent millions of dollars to get that stuff. Now we're buying new books to tell us new ways. Why did that change? The only book that didn't change, the Bible. It told us to still do the same thing. You know what I mean? And if we're here however longer, it's still not going to change. It's still going to say the same thing. There's not a revision to change it. You know, you have people that have translations that they're going to change, but what he says has not budged. His word is the same. Think about that. But you get these self-help books. Go back. Look back through time. You'd be surprised of how they used to say do this. Now they're saying not to do this. But they told you not to eat this, but now you can eat this. You remember, butter used to be bad. Now butter's back in play again. You know what I mean? The stuff that replaced butter, you got to eat that. Don't eat that. That'll kill you. But before, man, you all want this. And we keep going. This is with everything. Exercise has changed how we're supposed to be. Drink water. Please don't drink water. You'll drown to death. It's all of this stuff. Am I right? You see all of this stuff put out there because our mind on earthly things is temporary. It's confusing. It's inconsistent. But God is always the same. And we must have the same mind as Jesus. He commands us this. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I used the American Standard Version on this. And then we'll break this down and see how we're supposed to do this. It says in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this mind in you. He starts off with that command. This is what you need to do. You have to have this. It's a choice you have to make to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was like, this is what Jesus thought. Do the same thing. Who existed in form of God, counted not the being of an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Now let me break down what that's saying. First of all, not allowing circumstances to interfere with your relationship with God. A lot of us will only have a relationship with God as long as, and now you have to fill in that blank, and that's dangerous. True Christian will have a relationship with God, period. Right? He can take things away. He can add stuff. And you're going to keep growing in him. And God allows this stuff purposely. Look at the story of Job. Remember, Job was the greatest down there. Remember, he still fell short because this is all man that falls short. But he was the most righteous. And what does God do? Have you considered my servant Job? That would seem cruel because if we don't have a spiritual mind, we'll go, why would God do that? What about John down the street? You know what I mean? He could have let Satan on him and, you know, he would have failed. That's the problem. Because he knew Job was in God. Job was protected. Are you protected? And your protection is your choice. Job chose to be protected. Are you choosing? So do not allow circumstances to interfere with your relationship with God. Next, never make it about you. And I always want to add, never, ever. It's never about you. Satan will make it about you. Go back and read in Genesis. And then he tried to do the same thing with Jesus. Remember, he goes into it with, God is doing this. He just doesn't want you to have that. And I can't believe this. And you deserve to have it. And Eve bought it. When she saw that it was good for eating and gaining, all of a sudden it became about her. Jesus kept going, it is written. Translate that. My dad said, my father said, let me tell you what my father, you know what I mean? None of it ever waved, never budged him. No. My father said. Right? If Eve would have just gone, it is written, or he said, don't eat of it. Right? That's all it could have been. Never make it about you. We struggle because we are in the me. We're way past the me generation. I don't know what generation it is. It's all about me generation. I don't know. But we still make it about us. We take it personal from God. I know people that will leave the church thinking they're hurting God because they're mad at God. Amen? They'll get angry with God. We had one of our children passed away, and I remember a family member, when they called my wife, said they were mad at God. And I remember my wife's response was, don't you dare use my child and what happened as your excuse to get away from God. She said, we're not doing that, and that's no, and you don't ever use that as an excuse. Do not dare do that. And it was passionate. It was something good. Don't ever do that. Praise God the person is still or trying to get into your Christianity. But it's something that they made it about them, and it sounded like a great statement. While in reality, it was extremely dangerous. God allowed something to happen. Praise God. Do y'all get it? We don't understand everything that happens, but praise God. He knows what he's doing. Allowing yourself to be fully committed and totally accessible to God. I underline these two, fully committed, totally accessible. Now, why do I say this? Because most of us as Christians are partially committed. I do go to church sometimes. I do read my Bible a few times. I may understand what he's talking about. No times, right? I mean, it goes into all this stuff in which we don't put everything into it. This should be, I got to get this. And totally accessible means use me however you see fit. Now, what does that mean? A lot of us, if God uses us in a comfortable setting and everything seems like it goes well, we're praising God and saying, let's do it again. But when God puts you in uncomfortable situations, everything seems to fail, it hurts, then we want to quit. Total accessibility means use me however you see fit. Remember Joseph? He was first made second, you know, head in the kingdom and all this other stuff. And he was even showing his passion and how his loyalty to God and to his boss, the Pharaoh, and told the wife, I can't do that. I will not sin against my God and sin against Pharaoh. Do you understand that? He made it very clear. And guess what happened? Thrown in jail. Not only thrown in jail, he was kept in jail. Some of us would be, why would God do that? I did. Instead of going, there's a reason why he has me here. Right? So I'm going to worship him in here. If I find a way out, amen. If not, see how you want to use me. Totally accessible. If that's where you want me to go, God, got it. That's deep when we have to think about it that way. And also humbling ourselves even to the point of death for God. Even to the point of death. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'm there. Not, here's my list of stuff I'm not doing, God. Other than that, use me. He said, okay, go sit down. Amen. Whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do. We have to get rid of dangerous self and succumb to him. Get rid of dangerous self and succumb to him totally. It says in Ephesians 4:22-24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. If we're being honest, don't raise any hands. How many of us, when you became a Christian, how many of you did that? You immediately start working on getting rid of you. Because remember, he didn't tell you to change before you become a Christian, but he is telling you to change because now you have the ability when you become a Christian. How many of us done this? Or how many of you are still the same person you were? You have the same traits. And in fact, sometimes you honor them. Remember it says their glory is their shame? You still hold on to them and go, oh, same old Keith. Don't take much to get him mad. Oh, there you go walking away again. Oh, there you go. You have the same traits you did before you were a Christian because you never got rid of the old self. Or did you immediately go, okay, let's start working on getting rid of me in order to display you? He said, put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Do y'all see the danger of what happens when I stay in me? It didn't say which could be. It says being. I don't care how good you think you are and how much you mature, people in the world are still corrupted. Corrupted. And the older they become, the harder it is they're going to accept Christ. Because they become so corrupted, they become more far gone. I'm not saying impossible, but you become and allowed yourself to become so corrupt that you get set in your ways, oh, God's not going to do anything, and then you die. And eternity happens after that. Corrupted by what? Your own deceitful desires. Not that friend that you have, not what's coming on television. Because none of it will affect you if your desires are focused on him. The world can do absolutely nothing to me unless I allow it. If I pursue it based on my desires, I'm corrupted. If I don't allow it to and keep my desires in check, I'm good. To be made new in the attitudes of your mind. Did y'all catch that? Because I put off the old self and he changes and makes new the attitude of mind. That goes back to what we read in Romans 12, where it says renewing your minds. As I'm reading the word, I'm changing what I think. Those ways I used to think and the ways I used to feel go away. And put on the new self created to be like God. Yes, we are to be like God. Remember, you can participate in the divine nature in true righteousness and holiness. Powerful, isn't it? He says, I'm giving you this access, but you got to do something in order for it to work. I got to get rid of me. If you haven't done that as a Christian, I don't care how long you've been, start this year by getting rid of you and allowing him. We want to go down the street, and you'll hear me say in a lot of prayers, I don't want them to remember me. I want them to remember Christ. Right? If they left out of this room and said, his name, I don't know, that guy who preached about Christ and what Christ did, I did my job. If they talked about how great I am or how stupid I am or how whatever I am and it becomes about me, nothing about Christ, I failed miserably. My name is meaningless. My name is not going to get you into heaven. Right? Relationship is with him. When others see us, I want them to see him. We also see we must know what to avoid and what to add in order to have the mind of God. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 says, have nothing to do with godless myths. Now, I put that out there because what is a godless myth? Plainly put, if somebody gives you something to use and you can't find it in the Bible, it's godless. That's an easy way to know it. And I hate to let you know, there's a lot of books that are written where people are saying things that sound godly, but they have no basis in the Bible and we still follow it. And why is that? Do y'all get this? You'll clearly see it and you'll read it and they'll tell you, start doing this in your life. And if you say, hey, where's that in the Bible? You'll even find something that goes against it in the Bible and we still do what that book says. He told you, have nothing to do with them and we still keep doing with them. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. God says this, I'm doing this. God says this, I'm applying it in everything. Everything I'm doing, I'm being godly. Man, they're going to see me take this. I'm going to go in hard situations. I'm going to show my patience. I'm going to show my love. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm praying all the time. I'm going to train myself to be God. Why? For physical training is of some value. Now, what does that mean? So when I take medications, when I work out, when I do things that the world does, I may see some changes, some good, right? If you go to a worldly counselor, you'll see some fixes, but it's only for here, and it's only temporary, and it may seem like it works. But watch what he says here. But godliness has value for what? All. Physical, some. Godliness, all. Right? There was a medication somebody had to take, and in it, it would fix this one problem. But then you see this on TV when they give commercials, and then they give a ton of side effects. There's a couple of them I've seen, may cause death. But you won't have that disease anymore. Right? It did some. Difference with godliness, oh, no, I'm going to take care of all. And not only is he going to take care of all things holding to the promise for both, watch this, your life now and the life to come. Some are going, wait a minute, I need something for the life to come. Oh, yeah. You ever catch that before? And for the life to come. We just think when we go to heaven, everything's going to change. It's going, there's something to it. We see it with the rewards. We see stuff. Why do I need something that's going to help me for the life to come? The word says it. So I need to be godly. I need to live displaying and growing in godliness, not in me. Amen? So, last two. We have to think of godly things to have a mind of God. I'll go quickly through these. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, when we read this, we go, amen, right? The key word in here is whatever is. Key words. Whatever is, why is that the key word? Because I don't want your definition of noble, right, pure, lovely. I don't want the world's definition of noble, right, pure, lovely. I don't want that. I want what really is. Now, one thing you're going to notice with each of these things is they all lean to one thing. The word true is showing true. He is the truth. Okay? It also shows us noble, which means revered. And there's only one that's to be revered. You see a trend. Right means equitable or just is what that should say. Okay? Holy. Y'all catch this? It goes on to show us right which means, okay, we just did that one. And pure, we talked about pure, only the Bible, and he is the word, right? So it says clean, modest, perfect, right? Lovely. And when it shows this, friendly towards, acceptable. The only thing that's completely acceptable to God is Christ. That's why we accept him as our personal savior, as our personal sacrifice, because he's the only one that is acceptable, right? Admirable, right? Well spoken of, reputable. So now if I use the world gives you, and they pick people and we say who we think it. No, 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 he's not talking about you, because our reputation and what we think really stinks. The only one that has a true reputation is Christ. Y'all get this? Okay? And excellent or praiseworthy, okay? Which is talking about, and even though they use manliness, they're talking about valor, they're talking about excellence. He exceeds and goes exactly what God is saying in this. And he's showing that he's doing it to its best all the time. Christ was perfect. Remember, he came down here just like us. So anything that's of Christ or Christ-like, think of that is what it's saying. And it just showed you characteristics of Christ. That's what you're to think on. Not your definition of it, which is corrupt, his definition, which is Christ. Did y'all catch that? Okay? So he just broke down Christ for you to think of these characteristics of Christ, and that's what I'm supposed to be focusing on at all times. Finally, all of our prayers should have the focus of his well-being done, of his will being done. And we see in Matthew 6, 9, this should be a portion of every one of our prayers. Don't just say the Lord's Prayer. You want to understand what the Lord's Prayer is directing you to say. And in Matthew 6, 9 to 10, it says, this then is how you should pray. Remember, it's a template to give us a prayer. And when it starts off, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to have the mind of Christ, so I'm displaying heaven here on earth in order to bring others unto him. When I display heaven, that's why when I do good deeds, they glorify God. Isn't that what the verse is? When they see your good deeds, they glorify your Father in heaven. This new year is coming in, and I encourage you to make sure that your focus, that your mind, that you're growing, you're taking what was given here, you're getting together with your other brothers and sisters, and we're making this a continual thing. So by this time next year, God willing, if we're still here, we can say, well done, that we have done what we needed to do. God can say that to us, that we are focusing and displaying him as a body. Amen? All right.